Yo-Yo Ma is one of the most famous musicians of the modern age. He joins the Albany Symphony Orchestra in a special one-night-only performance on Saturday night featuring one of the greatest cello concertos of all time by Dvorak, along with favorites by Brahms, the unforgettable music of film composer John Williams, and more. It will be an unforgettable night of amazing music. It's Saturday night at 7 o'clock at the Palace Theater with David Alan Miller conducting, and it's a great treat and thrill to have Yo-Yo Ma on the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a treat.
Thank you, Joe. I'm a fan of WAMC and of roundtables, so it's a particular joy to be with you today.
Well, thank you very, very much. You have played with the Albany Symphony Orchestra before, have you not?
Yes. In fact, the last time I played with the Albany Symphony, I think it was they had just renovated the theater, which is absolutely gorgeous, and I want to congratulate all people that were involved in that effort. And I'm a great fan of David Alan Miller, who I think is not only a fabulous musician, but a very open-minded, forward-thinking citizen. So, it's a great joy to be back with them again, and look forward to some good music making.
I believe that we are especially blessed to have David in this region. Traveling around to orchestras, what makes a good conductor in a community like this of Albany, a smaller orchestra that allows it to be vital and important?
I don't know. I think you have to ask David that. But I think from where I sit, I admire David for a number of reasons. One is that he's a curious person about everything about the world, about the world of music, and because he's curious and open-minded, he seeks out things that are meaningful and that make sense. And then he also is, I think, a rooted community person. So that in his explorations, whenever he sees things that make sense, he actually tries to bring it to one place and lets people check it out. Sort of like, look what I found. This is really interesting. Give it a try, because I think one of the things about music is that music travels lightly. So people kind of, you pick up sounds, you pick up ideas, you pick up things almost without consciously doing so. And for any region today, for any city, for any community, we are desperate to find ways of interpreting the world around us. Because so many things are happening so quickly. I know Albany is a great center for state government, but it also is, part of a much larger world, and we all are kind of subject to the storms and the winds and the that happen politically, economically, and culturally around the world, and we want to stay, have that integrity of a place, while being as aware of everything around us as possible.
It seems as though one of the things that the mission of this orchestra and something that you do regularly is to explore this world and explore this world of music, and that there is more than the standard cello repertoire, that there is wonderful music to be had from the past and certainly what is being written today. And I would assume for you as an artist that is a wonderful exploration.
Well, I think so. I think it's a two-way street between being interested or fascinated by the world of sound and what it communicates, as well as how a sound is a reflection of what's happening in the world and what it's communicating to the purveyors of sound. And I think that two-way street, if it's kept revolving all the time, actually gives a listening public the greatest chance to have an imagination of the world without having to be in, you know, the geographic regions that the sounds cover.
Let us talk a little bit about what you'll be performing at the concert on Saturday night, which is Dvorak's concerto, and considered one of the greatest of all cello concertos. What is it like for you to continually perform this and to experience it in a new way, I assume, each time with a new orchestra?
Well, I think one of the features of the Dvorak is that it focuses attention on so many individual voices within the orchestra. You know, all the wind players and brass have big parts, big solo parts. The instrumental sections are just a very inventive music. So it's, in fact, any performance of or an interpretation of the piece is based on the collective, because it's they determine sort of as a collective which direction this piece is going to go. And because the work is, you know, one thing I love about Dvorak, it's written in the United States. It's written in New York when Dvorak was invited to teach at the National Conservatory for a couple of years by Mrs. Thurber in the late 1800s. And so he finished it, I think, in Harlem. And as he just finished the work, and this David Allan Millen taught me. Okay, so this is years after I've played it, recorded it. David says, do you know what is written in the manuscript at the very end? I said, actually, I don't. He says, well, here's what it is, that at the very end of the piece, which he changed when he heard that his beloved sister-in-law died, he quotes his sister-in-law's favorite song. She was a singer, and the violin plays it. It's very lofty, it is ethereal, it is poignant, and underneath that, the phrase of music, he writes, for those that know me, they understand. They would understand. And for those that don't, it doesn't matter. So you think about that. It's like he's saying that the quotation, for those that know where it comes from, they would understand why I put it there, and that's why the whole ending is in this way, in its whole in way. It's an ode to, you know, his beloved sister-in-law. But for those that don't, the piece stands on its own. You don't need to know that.
For you, as an artist playing it, does it change your mindset? I assume it doesn't change the mechanics of playing it, but does it change the mindset and the emotion while playing it, knowing that?
Well, I think one of the things that happens, you know, I'm 57, and since my early 40s, and this happens to all of us. We have friends, parents that get sick, and they die. We, you know, it's like nonstop. And where do we, you know, where do we put all of these emotions and memories? And I think each time I play this piece, there is, I'm in some way, I think the piece acknowledges a life lived, a life lost. The piece acknowledges, since he was writing in New York and missed his family, you could hear all the homesickness, the yearning for home and family. And certainly any of us that have worked and traveled know what that is like. So it's an acknowledgement, it's a universal acknowledgement of another aspect of life. It is, as some people have dubbed this piece, to be a hero's life or a life lived. And I think any of us that have been active and have tried to do something, we know what the costs are, and sometimes the result is an ambivalence. Did we really need to do that, or was it worth it? And so I think it's these messages or communications are embedded in this work. So no matter what stage in life you're going through, I think this piece addresses in a very deep way the sense of humanity that we all experience as we go through life.
I think it's so interesting that you pinpointed it to your 40s. I'm now 45, and over the last 5 years have lost both my parents. And you do, it's you start to think about everything differently because you almost feel orphaned in some way, but you also are starting to realize that you are in some ways on your own, but yet very much part of this larger community.
Absolutely. I think there's so many stages of life that we kind of all go through, you know, whether it's graduating from elementary school, middle school, high school, you know, some of us college, whatever, and, you know, we're getting married, having a partner, having a dog, you know. It's like each stage defines you once again, or you add another layer of identity. And I think music is a good way of layering those identities, you know, because you find, oh, yeah, I get it, you know, and it's in a way a live performance. I think one of the beauties of live performance is a communal acknowledgement of all those various identities we hold.
In addition to the Dvorak, you will be playing a work by John Williams, his brief Elegy. This, of course, is a man who you know very, very well. And what is it like to perform something like that, that you're a part of in many ways in the creation?
Well, I think one of the great joys of my life is to know John Williams, and we all know that he is part of our region here and the Albany area, the Berkshire area, that, mm-hmm. and that he's shared so much of his talents and output, and many of his works are created in this region, and I think he feels a particular love for this part of the country. John is, obviously we know him as one of the great film composers of our time, but he's much more than that, and I think the fact that he's written this elegy for two children that were murdered by their father and dedicated it to them because their mother plays in the orchestra that John works with and records with in L.A. And when I heard that, and she was, thank goodness, is remarried his children now again, and it was, you know, it put very much like the Dvorak losing his sister-in-law, it's like a new layer of meaning to what this means, because this piece was written spontaneously when he heard what had happened, and he'd written it in, you know, as an act of condolence. And he writes pieces for friends, members of orchestras, concertos for specific instruments, friends that play in the orchestras he conducts, and the BSO and the LA Phil, and, you know, a harp concerto or clarinet concerto or cello concerto. And it's so personal. So on the one hand, you know, you have him as the iconic film composer. On the other hand, there's this deeply personal, intimate relationship that he has with people, and is so generous in contributing to their musical lives.
I remember discussing this with Isaac Stern shortly before he died about that very fine line between the emotion of playing a piece like that and the performance aspect of what we see, and writing that line. Do you feel that?
I'm very moved that you just, what you just said, because Isaac Stern was a dear, dear, dear colleague and mentor and friend, and we feel his loss deeply, my wife and I, and So, and I think this is someone, I do agree with you, with him, in that I think in performance, there's, it's like a head and heart thing. You need both. You can also explain this consciousness, subconsciousness, unconsciousness, but you need both. So that you need the analytical thinking, you need the intuitive thinking, you need the objective, and you need the subjective. And both have to kind of hum along. And so that you're right at that. Do you ever feel like what, just before you fall asleep, that you have some great idea and you want to write it down? Or just when you wake up and then you forget it?
Sure.
That's that fine line between the conscious and the subconscious. If you don't record it or tell somebody, you're going to forget it. But it's somehow you have access to both. And that's the place you want to be performing a work, because you are totally sympathetic and advocating for it. You are also removed enough to be looking at how, standing apart and saying, how is the story going? Is it going well? And as a storyteller, are you, is it too slow? Are you losing the plot? Have you lost your audience? What can be fixed? You know, for a doctor, for someone in the health profession, it's like looking at a patient's stats and all of the information. It has to all be in equilibrium for the patient to stay alive. And the job for performance is to make sure that the piece stays alive for its length, so it has the maximum possibility of entering and living into in someone else's life.
Because I remember him saying that in all of his years of playing, of how it still mystified him the difference between practice and the actual performance, of how that would be different.
Well, it's marrying the idea of concept to execution, and by execution I don't mean death, but yes, exactly. It's about, you know, someone who, an architect who draws the plans and then the actual building. There's always something, there's an evolution always between whatever you plan, right? The Marines say, don't fall in love with your plan. Why? Because the reality you meet is going to challenge that plan, and you might have to change the plan. And if you just go according to plan, you might fail. But if you don't plan, you might also fail. So the idea is that you have something in mind so you actually can test out possibilities. Like having children, you can't program them for the life that you don't know they're going to live. So what you can do is, however, just give them, what is it that you can give them so that they can meet a life that is beyond your own.
You bring to a stage such a joy, and whatever the repertoire is, there is you seem to exude this joy of this love of playing and the love of the music, and I assume that comes with a genuine joy that you feel when you're on that stage playing and performing.
Absolutely. I think the thing that is most precious to me when I'm performing is bringing a moment to life. You know, because I know that on Saturday night, a lot of people coming to the concert, and the orchestra musicians who are, some are traveling for hours to get there, their families to go to. Audiences have made a commitment to spend a couple of hours of their time in a place, and it's not easy. And so we're coming together for a special moment that hopefully people will remember or savor, because otherwise that's wasted time on everybody's part. You know, and I feel a real responsibility that we've got to make this moment worthwhile for everybody, because in some ways, you know, we're all witnesses to that moment, and the more we bring to that moment, the more we witness, the more we can take away and somehow savor, treasure, build on, connect to, with something else. Those are some of the things that make life meaningful. Otherwise, you could stay home and watch TV and watch Downton Abbey, which is, of course, not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all. Yo-Yo Ma will be performing with the Albany Symphony Orchestra Saturday night at 7 o'clock, performing Dvorak and John Williams' Elegy. Again, 7 o'clock at the Palace Theater in Albany with David Alan Miller conducting. You can find out more by going to albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com. Yo-Yo Ma, it's a great thrill and pleasure to speak with you, and we look forward to having you back in the region.
Thank you so much, Joe. Great to talk with you.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
Take care.
Again, Yo-Yo Ma at the Palace Theater in Albany. You can find out more information by going to albanysymphony.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.